Hi, Gudvach. This is Sacher Wartell, and I am back from Eretz Israel. In fact, the picture behind me is not a stock photo of the hotel. It is one that I took. I was there for 2 weeks, and it was amazing. And I am back after a 2 week hiatus. And this week we have Parshat Beha'alotcha. Not always the easiest thing to spell, but it is something that's potentially understandable. The concept of Aaron lighting the flame and constant illumination, many, many themes. There's actually a lot of other things that are talked about in this week's Parsha as well. So it's not just, of course, everything being related to Aaron and taking after the Seim and then what he feels left out and is letting know. There's obviously a lot more to it than that. But there's other things that are talked about in this week's Parsha. We have the episode where Aaron and Miriam speak about Moshe and that whole, again, this whole concept of itself. We have the consecration of a Levium and the fact that Aaron was miraculously able to wave all of them. There are many other things, but one other thing that's very interesting is Pesach Sheni. It's something that often gets overlooked. Pesach Sheni appears in this week's Parsha. That's right, the Parsha of Be'alotcha, smack in the middle, right after the consecration of Levium. The Torah goes into the laws of Pesach Sheni. There are numerous individuals that approach Moshe, ask if they can essentially have a makeup of Pesach since they were ritually impure, they were tameh, when the actual Pesach event occurred. Now, most commentaries explain that they were tameh since they were carrying the coffin of Yosef to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore was a very meritorious act, and they had a very good reason for being tameh and therefore missing Pesach. They argued, therefore, we were performing a chesed. Why should we miss out on partaking of the Karban Pesach simply because we are tameh? We were doing this mitzvah, and if we weren't doing it, somebody else would have to do it. Why should we have to miss out? And ultimately, Moshe consulted, Hashem agreed with the reasoning and gave them, and by extension us, the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. But the obvious question is, well, probably many questions, but one question is, what's the connection between Pesach Sheni and the previous narration of the Aron and the Levium? Obviously, the Torah needs to insert it somewhere, but maybe it would be seemingly more fitting in a place where we're talking about all the other Chagim. So the Ramban famously asked the question why the beginning of Be'alotcha and the mitzvah of the menorah is connected to the previous parsha of Naso, something that Rashi and many other Mefarshim also deal with. And the Ramban gives an answer very similar to Rashi, because he expands on it a little bit. He says that in the last week's parsha, the Nasir, the head of each tribe, gave a special, an identical, but a special dedicated offering to the Mishkan and by extension to Hashem. And Aaron felt he also wants to contribute. Not for selfish reasons, but he wanted to be part of this giving communally for the sake of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Hashem granted him the even greater reward of lighting the menorah each day in Mishkan. I heard us share today about why Dafka the menorah, and even though he had many, many other avodas that were unique as well. Not going to talk about it now, but something else to think about. So that's one piece. Maybe that somehow connects also to the idea of Pesach Sheni. Aaron didn't want to be left out, not for selfish reasons, but he didn't want to, he wanted to help be Mekadesh Hashem. He wanted to be part of this communal experience and communal effort and this communal mitzvah of bringing something for the inauguration of the Mishkan. So too, these people who were doing a mitzvah and therefore had no fault of their own wanted to be part of the community. They wanted to be part of this dedication to Hashem of the Karban Pesach and everything that Pesach symbolized. They perhaps had a similar motivation to Aaron. They didn't want to feel left out. Not again, not because they just like, well, why me? Right? They meant it out of sincerity. They didn't think they were better than the rest of Klal Yisrael. They were carrying Yosef's bones. It was a necessary endeavor and it was a necessary thing that had to be done. And they took it upon themselves. And like Aaron, they wanted to be part of the communal experience and celebrate in the glory of Hashem. Now, the Torah Chaim notes that the Torah writes that these individuals specifically went to Moshe and Aaron, right? They didn't just go to Moshe. Perhaps they wanted to appeal to Aaron, knowing that he could relate. Again, food for thought, something that the Torah Chaim mentions. Now, Rav Yaakov Shapira writes that both Aaron and these individuals asking for a Pesach Sheni had a type of taiva, a tavat ruchaniyut, that's what he calls it, a spiritual desire. Now, obviously, there can be physical desires that are good too. And there could also potentially be negative spiritual desires, which can lead to, witchcraft and things like that. But in most cases, a ta'avat ruchaniyut, a spiritual desire, is a very good and very meritorious thing. Both Aaron and these people wanted to have the ability to celebrate Pesach, wanted to be part of a mitzvah. They wanted to be closer to Hashem. Now, Rav Yaakov Shapira contrasts this later in a parsha where there is the not the best type. right? Where the nation complains a variety of things, but including the lack of meat. They had a physical negative taiva, a desire. The Torah wants to therefore perhaps contrast the notion of being unsatisfied selfishly and negatively with the idea of being unsatisfied with Shem Shemayim for the sake of growth and attaining spiritual heights. There's some elements of not exactly being selfish, but like you're not satisfied. You want to do more. You want to connect more. You want to grow. You want to connect with God's work. You want to connect with other people. You want to be part of the community. These are all really, really good things. But when you just desire something just for yourself without Lashem Shemayim or without pure motivation, that's destructive. So there's a big difference. So one type of desire or craving can lead to destruction, and one can be incredibly meritorious and worthwhile. Now, unfortunately, even though we had some amazing individuals asking about the Pesach Sheni, you also had a big section of Klal Yisrael, we don't know how much, begin somewhat of a downward spiral. They begin to complain about various different things, uncomfortable with the situation, uncomfortable with the man, wanted meat. Downward spiral begins. And the Jewish complaining continues. They are not happy with the land. And there's another thing that they wanted to ask Moshe to send out spies. And ultimately, he does send out spies. And again, that's part of a whole other conversation. And that goes into next week's portion, right? And then they wind up complaining even further. And ultimately, that costs them the ability to go into Eretz Yisrael in the first place. That was the worst gripe that they possibly had, their complainants and reluctance to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, we all know, self included, Jews love to complain. It's in our nature. We're Am Kishei Aaref, we're stiff-necked, but we also like to complain. It is what it is. However, that is one of our biggest Yetzirahs. I was also, of course, obviously Yetzirah to many other things as well, including Lashon Hara, things like that. But we do like to complain. But there's only one good thing to complain about. We should be able to complain when we don't have the ability to perform mitzvot, when we don't have the ability to serve Hashem. Like, unfortunately, Rechmanot Zlan, people who are in the concentration camps, or people who are, held captive, or people who are bound by government, whatever it is, people who are unable to perform mitzvot, to be able to learn Torah, to keep the Torah, to people who are unable to become holier. That's when you cry out to Hashem and say, Hashem, I need this. I want to be able to grow and meet my full potential. I want to be able to help perform your mitzvot and bring light into this world and learn Torah and bring Torah into this world and merit things in this world and the next. That's the only time that we truly have a right to complain. Now, obviously, there's other times where things might not be just, but it's not the same level of complaining, right? When we have a personal complaint, we have a personal complaint. The only time that it's really truly justified is when we want it for a constructive purpose where we can truly be making a positive impact. And this is something to think about the next time that we complain. Again, it's all going to happen to us. Was maybe like right now, my air conditioning is not working as well as it should, and I'd like to complain. So we like to complain about everything, and we live in a society where we talk to everybody about everything under the sun, and it's just the way we are. But we want to try and just do our best to try and rein it in, and obviously have a karas hatov. It's extremely important. Be grateful for what we do have, and obviously complaining is a lack of bitachon and a lack of karas hatov. However, when we feel that we are not able to achieve our potential growth and we don't have the ability to grow spiritually, that's a time when we actually might want to complain. And we want to say, I want more access to Kedusha. I want more connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's something that we want to think about. And we all strive to have what we need physically and have no need to complain. So the only thing we can worry about is attaining our goals and our spiritual pursuits. Wishing you all an amazing Shabbat.